Just a quick note about this upcoming episode. We say that our show, February 6th at the Musical Offering Cafe is at 7:30. It's actually been moved to 8 p.m. So that we can accommodate an earlier event at the cafe. So every time we say 7:30, just keep in mind it's 8 p.m. And here's the episode with Mia. All right. Welcome back to The Crossover Cellist. I'm your host, Louis Patzner. And with me today is... violinist, composer, Mirabella D'Agelli. Hi, Mia.
Hey, thanks for having me, Louis.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Anytime.
We're at Mia's house right now.
Yeah.
And we're trying something different. We're not using my doodad to record this. We're just using the iPhone mic.
We're going to see if it keeps the clipping to a minimum.
Yeah, let me know if you think the audio is better.
Or worse. Or the
same. Or worse. Yeah, let me know what you think. Let's see. Mia and I... Well, so we have played together in Town Quartet for how many years? 6 years now?
6 years.
Six years.
A little more. We started, I think, fall of 2012 when I started playing with you guys.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So over 6 years.
I'm not a teenager anymore.
It's true. You were 19 years old when we started?
I think, yeah.
That's so crazy. And you were already a junior in college?
Is that right?
You went to Mills College?
I did.
You are from Chico, California?
Yep, not too far away, but a little different vibe there, I guess.
One thing that we have in common is that both pairs of parents mm-hmm. are professional musicians.
Yeah. It's a weird kind of situation to grow up with, but of course...
Really?
Weird in the sense... Seems totally normal to me. Yes, but weird in the sense that we have people around us that do the same thing that we do, but very differently.
True.
So we have to find our own way to do it, right?
True. Yes. Your parents are both multi-instrumentalists.
Yes, I have no idea how they play all those instruments.
They're more wind players.
Yes. My dad does play upright bass.
Yeah.
Jazz.
Yeah, he does a lot of jazz. He does the, like, NorCal jazz scene,
yeah.
Right?
Which once in a while, he makes it up here, or down here.
Down here, yeah. But he's playing, like, all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
Shasta. Did he play with Shasta?
Yeah, I think he's playing with the Temptations.
Whoa.
Or did recently up there.
Whoa. Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
A lot of time there. North Coast Brewery. They have a lot of space.
I'm trying to go there. I think maybe that's the best beer.
If I drink
beer,
I do like their stouts.
Really?
But I haven't drank anything since.
Is that the Rasputin?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge stout guy. I like the... It's a mule beer. A mule beer, sure. I'm sure I would enjoy it in the proper context. I like the Acme beers.
Okay,
I've
tried those.
Pale Ale and IPA. This Red Seal Ale is good. I think
Acme
Scrimshaw is
local
my favorite.
Local here? Acme? Huh?
Acme is it's North Coast.
Oh, okay.
It's
cool.
I don't know why they call it Acme.
We have the Acme Bakery here, right?
Yeah, exactly. I always thought of Acme as just like generic. Like, remember in Looney Tunes?
Nope. I know what Looney Tunes is.
Okay, well, let me explain. In Looney Tunes, let's say, do you know like Roadrunner and Coyote?
Yeah.
So Coyote's like chasing after a fake Roadrunner or something, and then an Acme anvil will fall on him.
Oh, you know? Like it has the label.
Yeah.
Like that's the company.
Yeah.
Brand.
Yeah, they make everything.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm sure there's some sort of definition out there. Okay, so you moved to Oakland when you were a teenager.
Yeah. 17.
Yeah, so how can you start college so early?
Well, I actually started it later than I could have. I graduated from high school when I was 15, and then I turned 16 that summer, and I took a year off.
Yeah.
And did like a sustainability gap year program. But I got ahead as a homeschooled kid
mm-hmm.
very early on. And so mm-hmm. by the time I was in high school, I did spend 4 years in high school.
Yeah.
But I was 12 when I started high school. And I wasn't in public school. I did community college classes. I played in a local symphony, or a couple of them. I did dance. I did all kinds of stuff. Took a lot of hikes. Just had more time. I think it was a very fruitful way to grow up.
Yeah.
But then, that's how it happened.
Yeah. Well, we just played a piece that you are in the progress of writing.
Yeah, I'm writing my first ever string chamber music.
How come we waited so long?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It just never came out. Usually when I have something to write, I know who I'm writing for.
Yeah.
And there's like a specific deadline. And so I guess it's because we have a concert that's coming up on February 6th.
That's right.
7:30 p.m. It's a Wednesday night at the Musical Offering Cafe.
You've
probably seen us there. If you haven't, you should definitely come.
When would they have probably seen us there?
Because we play there every fucking Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Yeah, the Town Quartet hosts a residency at the Musical Offering Cafe in Berkeley every Sunday from 1 to 3. And we're starting to do some evening concerts. But back to your piece, I would say it fits in with the Mills College sound.
Because it has scratchy sounds?
I guess so.
I guess that is something. At Mills, I've never been an improviser in like the chordal sense.
Uh-huh.
But because of Mills, I learned how to explore sounds that
yes.
I liked.
Yes.
And now I'm trying to find a way to incorporate the things that I feel engaged with. Because the thing about free improv is that you can do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely gravitate towards certain things.
Yeah.
And so I don't do very much of that anymore. Because when I listen to groups who do, I hear them playing some of the same stuff all the time.
Yeah, and so I just
so I realized that I just want to incorporate what I like about the sounds I've gotten to explore.
Yeah.
And so...
That'd be nice. Did you go to Mills like knowing this is what you were getting into and that you would and that it would influence you in these ways?
Absolutely not.
Uh-huh.
I went there. I don't think have it on my radar that it was an all women's college when I applied.
Yeah.
There was an awesome bassoon player who plays with the ballet and opera orchestras, Rufus Olivier.
Yeah.
And he's played there for decades, and he's amazing. But he reminded my mom that it existed, because he'd taught there at some point.
Uh-huh.
And so I ended up applying. I got all kinds of scholarships, and since I'm a California resident, I got Cal Grants and Pell Grants. And so I got to go to a private college and not come out with debt.
Wow.
And study music in, like, a small, intimate environment. Which was very weird. I'm really glad that I wasn't good enough to go to a conservatory, because I think my soul would have gotten sucked away.
Maybe.
But I also had a lot of
maybe you went to Juilliard.
I think my soul would have still gotten sucked away. I wouldn't have explored as much.
If you went to Peabody, your soul would have expanded.
Ooh. Well, that's good. I'm glad that happened, but you'd also been playing other kinds of music and writing your own music there.
I don't
know. Yeah.
No, I think Mills is great, and what a beautiful campus.
It is, and I still, right now, I'm living just a couple miles away.
Yeah.
And it's still beautiful.
So, let's talk about stuff you're up to now. So, Town Quartet.
Yeah.
We're doing a concert in April at the Musical Offering Cafe, an evening concert.
I think it's April 24th, another Wednesday evening.
And we're doing Schubert G major.
Which has been hanging over my head since I started playing with the quartet. Because there are other violinists who they started with, I think in 2011.
Yeah.
They started the quartet. He had played first violin on this piece,
Garrett. Yeah, but we never really learned it.
Yes, but it was Garrett on the list. It was on the list of pieces, and so it's been in my mind, and it's a very scary part.
Yeah, it is.
I just look at it, I'm like, that's a lot of triplets and a lot of high notes, oh my gosh.
I remember it was a piece that we were supposed to learn, but then Garrett ended up moving away, and instead of learning that, we ended up doing the complete Mendelssohn Quartet cycle at Vessel Gallery. And I guess it's good to know the Mendelssohns, but I sort of wish we had done Schubert G major, but I'm really glad that we're doing it now.
Yes.
Because what an amazing piece.
It's taking a while to sink into for me, but I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Absolutely. And then one group you've been playing a lot with is called Redwood Tango.
Yeah, Redwood Tango Ensemble. It's been an adventure.
Yeah.
I started playing with them.
It was with Charles, what's his name?
Gorzynski?
Yes.
Or Gorzynski. I always
piano player.
Bandoneon player.
Oh, I thought you said you were having this other, Elise plays.
Yes.
Elise
Weekly.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Player. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So when you guys were recording up in the Northwest, you're getting a different bandoneon player
as
well.
A second one.
A second one.
So we're expanding the group for some new pieces that Charles is writing.
Are they going to be... Sorry.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying he's finished four of them, and we have four more to start learning as a group. So the first four we're actually going to be performing on February 15th, a Friday night at 8 p.m. at the Community Music Center in San Francisco. And there's also, besides his original pieces, which are gorgeous and engaging and exciting, there are some other contemporary tango composers, all the way from Piazzolla, who really changed the sound a lot. Some of his more adventurous stuff that you may not have heard, like you've probably heard Oblivion and Adios Nonino and stuff like that, but there's a lot of crazier stuff.
That's what I'm trying to hear.
So come out to that. And then some people who are around today in Argentina that we don't get to hear their music, but we can, and they're great.
When you have two bandoneons, are they out of tune in the same way?
They're always out of tune. No, it's a beautiful sound. I don't know. Every bandoneon is a little bit different.
That's what I'm saying,
yes.
Yeah.
So I would say that you don't really come into situations imagining that you're going to have a pure, like, unison sound. Like, that's not what the music is going for.
Yeah, right.
So it's not like you ever need that. Often you'll have a pairing where it's a bandoneon and a violin playing the same melody, and then it's a lot easier to balance. But yeah, bandoneons are usually a couple cents sharper than what we would usually tune to. Yeah. So we always tune the strings to the bandoneon, and then the piano is its own thing. We don't care about the piano.
And you guys have done some touring, right?
Yeah. We've gone out a couple times as a trio, so that's just violin, keyboard, and bando. And then we did a short sextet tour in like end of November, December, down to Southern California area. That was really fun.
Yeah.
And we've done some playing up the West Coast on our way. Because we've spent, I've been there two times. We spent a couple summers for a week-long intensive at Reed College in Portland, Oregon. And we've gotten to study and play music with some really amazing people. And so that was great. It's not happening this year, but it'll happen again in 2020. But this year, we're going to go up and spend a week at a house rehearsing and then record an album. So
there's that fridge we were talking about.
Yep.
I said it would be an opportunity for comedy, but I can't think of anything.
Well, you know, as a musician who likes to explore sound, I appreciate how The Hum adds a little bit of a Twin Peaks-like experience.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe there's a little bit of crazy stuff happening in this world.
Okay. Now that you mention it, Twin Peaks.
Which I still haven't finished. I need to finish it. First, Eric finished, my fiancé Eric, he finished all of the episodes while I was away once. And he's tried to get me to finish them with him since, but I never did.
Oh, that's okay.
It will happen.
I haven't watched any of the new Twin Peaks.
I love
it's
it.
Good. You do?
It's great.
Have you watched all the old ones?
No.
Oh, have you watched some of them?
No.
Oh.
Lots to explore.
Yeah, totally. I've seen a good portion of the original, and I thought it was excellent.
I have heard the comparison be made that the new ones, Lynch has a lot more exploratory feel. He's able to do more of what he had wanted to do.
Yeah.
So
somebody was telling me that David Lynch is cool because he doesn't give you what you want. In our culture today is all about giving people what they want. Like, you know, like
right now
you have your internet search curated for you.
Yeah, but that's insane because we don't even know half of what's coming at us.
I think we're starting to realize that that is maybe to the detriment of society. But then, you know, in terms of music, like, you know, conductors are thinking that they, to get people to come to concerts, they have to program well-known pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give them stuff that they already like. And so I forget who I was talking to, but there's him, David Lynch. What I like is he doesn't do that. He does the opposite.
I know. I think that's how hopefully everybody can be. But unfortunately, a lot of us aren't as well known. So hard to make that happen.
Accomplished. Not, you know, David Lynch is an accomplished dude.
He's
earned the right to do whatever he wants.
Done the thing. But he is now at the point where he doesn't really have to ask.
Yeah.
He can just do it. And I think that's amazing. Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot recently, how the world is today, especially because there's so much information at our fingertips, we feel like we're able to explore everything, and yet we don't sink into things.
Yeah.
And so that's something I've really been thinking about the last week or two a lot, is just giving myself the time to become an adventurer, I guess. Like, follow those threads of the mind.
And, yeah, I mean, what you're doing is, well, partially what you were doing, what we were talking about earlier, before we started recording this, is writing music.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And that's something that I started doing when I was pretty young, and I wrote, you know, I wrote pieces when I was a teenager a little bit. And in college, I wrote one once in a while. But I just never did it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And so just once in a while, something just pours out. Like, usually I'll just be sitting somewhere random, not even in my house or on my instrument, and I'll just think of something, and then I'll, luckily, usually have a notebook with me,
yeah.
and then I'll write it down, and then
yeah.
it'll become something. But it's like, I have to wait until it explodes
yeah.
before I actually make myself sit down and do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I saw your little pocket notebook. That's cool.
Yeah.
I want one of those. But I want one that's, like, leather bound and, like,
yeah, you want
more
that.
Pages.
But it's thin enough that it's very easy to use, and you can just get a new one
I
later.
Know. Well, yeah. I have some medium-sized ones that I hardly ever use.
Yeah, I see. Put pocket ones. You can actually put it in your pocket.
I'm a pocket type of guy. Yeah.
Yeah. With your wallet.
So, speaking of your compositions, we're doing a concert March 2nd for the Glenview Classical Series at St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Oakland, where we're doing a good portion of the concert is your music.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited because I've only heard a little bit of your music. So I finally get to play some of it and hear the stuff that doesn't have cello, and you know, your new stuff. Should we talk about these pieces a little bit?
We could, yes.
Well, maybe we should talk about Slight Ensemble.
Yeah. So Slight Ensemble is a group that I formed with Jacob Lane on piano and Erica Oba on flute. And they were also Mills people. They were grad students for some portion of the time that I was there. And at some point, we realized that we all want to play our own music and other people's music and have kind of a workshop situation.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find people who are able to do that for an extended amount of time. And we have had lots of lapses, but we've done a couple concerts and we've written some cool music. Lewis even, I think we considered having him at the very beginning, but he was too busy. And then we also had a percussionist that we might have had, but that didn't happen. And for a while we had Devin Thrumpston play cello with us. She was lovely to have, and she had also been a Mills person. She was very busy and didn't do really the composing side of stuff, so we didn't feel like it was fair. I mean, besides that, we like to meet during the daytime and she had to actually work a job, you know, a day job.
One of those.
And so it's hard to find the time when basically the only time we have is mornings.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but so we'll actually have a concert coming up mid May. I think it's May 18th. It's a Saturday. We're going to also do it at the Musical Offering.
Fantastic.
Cafe. But yeah. So we've gone through some different phases and each of us has definitely come out with some pieces that are very different from the other people's, but also from each other. So we've been able to play around with a lot of things. And the most recent pieces I've written are a flute and violin duo, which could also be played by two violins or two flutes. It's not, like, written specifically. It's just I like playing with a flute player. And
no
so
double
that's,
stops?
No double stops.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very minimalist-y.
Okay.
And I enjoyed that it started out with just, you know, like 20 pages, or not 20 pages, 20 measures of an idea, and then suddenly it's like 300 measures long.
Oh, wow.
And it just felt right at the time, because sometimes I'm just like really antsy and manic about the stuff that I write, and it's very intense, and then sometimes I just want to calm down and just write something more motion-like.
Yeah. And so this is the latter.
Yeah.
Great.
And then the other piece I wrote recently is a duo for flute and piano, and that one is more spatially written, so there's not bar lines, there's not specific rhythms, there's just kind of a range of lengths of notes.
Yeah.
And then it's written so that you know if your note should overlap with another note that has just happened. So I wrote it.
Sweet. Yeah, I think it's cool to just do things differently every now and then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Learn some new notation stuff.
Yeah.
Writing stuff like that on a computer is insane. Because on Sibelius, what you have to do is make it like 50 beats long for the measure, and then manually hide all of the rests to put things where you want it. So I feel like stuff like that, I'm going to be writing by hand from now on. Yeah. Like, I had it by hand, but it wasn't neat enough, and then instead I spent hours putting it on the computer instead of, like, the 1 hour that it would have taken me to do.
And so, yeah, and those pieces are going to be programmed on March 2nd.
Yeah, and then whatever my brand new violoncello duo ends up being.
Yeah, and we're going to play that also at the on the 6th, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's fun. The goal. And then we're going to play your trio in quartet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of music by Nina on the 2nd. I'm really excited.
If I can convince them, I might play a couple short solo things.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Okay, so, yeah, March 2nd at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. February 6th at Musical Offering Cafe. That's our duo concert. Yep. We're also playing Schulhoff.
Yes.
The Schulhoff Sonata, which is a crazy piece.
Is it called Sonata?
Or just I think
duo?
It is.
Maybe it
is it not? Can I grab the music?
Yes.
And we're also playing... What else are we playing?
We are playing a Bach... Prelude and Fugue from the Well-Tempered Clavier, right, Lewis? He can't hear me. He's in the other room. My tiny apartment is sometimes even too big to hear. So Prelude and Fugue of Bach, what's it called?
C minor.
C minor, okay.
From book one of Well-Tempered Clavier. You're right. It's a duo.
Yeah, didn't have the word sonata. Come on, Lewis.
And there's some, like, what is this?
It's just dedicated to Janáček, I think.
Janáčkovi.
Is it?
Who knows? Yeah, maybe that's Janáček. Is it?
I should really know this. Should I look it up?
Sure.
Take advantage of having an oracle in front of us. But yeah, so we're playing the Schulhoff, which is a very cool piece. It's definitely one that I've never heard it live. And I was looking through violin and cello duos. We actually were going up to Chico to play at CSU Chico, a concert with some of the faculty members and other local musicians for chamber pieces, and we're doing a Casella piece and also a Martineau piece, which are larger ensembles, and then they asked us to do a duo. And, you know, it's a 20th century sort of program, so there's a lot of variety. We played the Kodai when I had my senior recital. Lewis has played the Ravel with his awesome girlfriend Ariel. And
with
and
Corey.
Oh yeah, and with Corey.
From Time Quartet.
Did I ever hear you guys play that?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
We did it at one of our Starry Plow shows. I think you were on it.
Huh. Well, somehow I forgot about it.
You maybe had to leave. Remember?
Maybe I had to leave.
There was one where you had to leave early, and so we did extra.
Oh darn it! I missed the Ravel. But anyway, so I was listening to all of these pieces, and I listened to the Schulhoff, and I was like, I am more interested in that than the Ravel at this moment.
Yeah.
And Lewis kindly said yes to it.
Honestly, it's better for me because Ravel is freaking hard.
Yeah. I mean, this one's freaking hard, but...
It's hard too, but it's hard in different ways that I think I'm better at.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit more defined. Like, I think the Ravel sounds more out there to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I think this is pretty out there.
Well, that's because you play a lot of Bach. You had a Bach concert last night.
That's true. Bach is out there, too.
Yeah.
We played some...
Stuff in your head is pretty intense, yeah. I'm sure, so...
There's some really crazy chromatic stuff in Choral Preludes that we play
last
night. We're playing... February 10th is the concert at Chico State.
Yes, and there are other pieces that I have forgotten, but the ones that we're playing on.
Yeah, Casella, Martineau, and Schulhoff.
Yes. And yes, Schulhoff was dedicated to Janáček, so what it says in all of this weird script at the top of the page ends up meaning it's dedicated to
Janáček. Okay, good.
Janáček.
Any other concerts on your calendar that we should talk about?
Yes, so one interesting thing coming up is a collaboration. There's a violinist and composer, Christina Dutton, who lives in San Francisco, and she's been around for a little while now, but I'm really happy to play her music. And it's a collaboration with a band called Yasau and some dancers from SF Ballet and the Alonzo King Lines Ballet Company, and it's a Mad Max themed show.
Fantastic.
So there's video and lights and a kind of narrative sort of thing, and it's very cool. It's called Fury. So that's Friday and Saturday, the 1st and 2nd of February at August Hall in San Francisco, which I've never played at. But the string quartet, we did this once in the fall for performances, and we wear all white, and we're bathed in light, but this time we actually get to be in the middle of the stage up on a pedestal, I think. So it's going to be exciting, and you'll actually be able to see me.
Wow.
So.
Cool.
I had to buy white pants for that last year. I don't own white because I can't own white. I eat food. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I have like white undershirts and stuff.
Yeah, you're wearing beige pants though. That is not something.
Today it was like, it's a bold choice, I would say.
Bold styling, Louis.
This is where my cello goes. I have a rip on my knee.
Yeah, and you didn't even pay $200 for these jeans.
I didn't come
with the rip.
No, I got these like at Buffalo Exchange in Chicago, I think.
Cool. Yeah, thrift stores on trips are interesting.
I
remember my first trio tour with Redwood Tango. I think we were in Iowa when I went to this thrift store, and I found a really nice Columbia jacket. And I had my car broken into in Reading, like, a couple years before that, and lost my nice warm jacket.
Yeah.
And I finally found one.
Yeah.
I mean, I live in the Bay Area, so you don't need it very much, but it's helpful for certain things.
One thing we haven't talked about, speaking of fashion, is the huge sombrero that you're wearing right now.
Oh.
What is that? And you've been wearing it all day.
And I didn't even notice because it just feels so natural to me. Actually, it's just a paper mache hat.
Nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, you never said anything about the eye patch I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Something happened.
No. Yeah. It's the adventure. He really wants to be on the deep blue sea, you know. No, but really, when it comes to hats are important. Save your skin.
Yeah.
I went to the dermatologist for the first time last year. And my skin is fine, but I had like 3 moles that got removed because they were unusual. And so they just wanted to check them. Nothing was cancerous, luckily.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those people who has to check things a lot. I have a lot of moles.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting bad sunburns over the years. Gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Lots of good hats.
I'm going bald, so I have to become a hat person, which I never was.
Yes.
I'm getting there.
You're gonna do it. You're gonna find the right hat.
Either that or I'll just die young or early.
No, don't die because of that. There are some better reasons to die.
Yeah, that does not get you into musical Valhalla.
If you, you know, aimed towards such things or you believe in such things, yeah.
Any other calendar dates that we should discuss? Okay, if you think of one, we'll put it in there. But
I think the other thing
I want to touch on is the podcast, Minute Mondays.
Oh, yes. That's something I started last year. I did a little first season, and I call it little, not because it wasn't a lot of episodes. I did 33 episodes, but they were very short.
Yes.
They started around like 2.5 minutes, and I think the longest ones are like 13 minutes long.
Yeah.
So I wanted to explore just random things that come to mind that don't seem very exciting, but that are very much part of our life.
Right.
Like I talked about socks, and I talked about like boiling water and stuff like that.
You're talking about like scheduling time for yourself.
Yeah. But it was all, that's a very exciting thing, but it was part of a different topic title, you know. Then you can explore the exciting stuff once you have the title.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited to keep going with that. It was definitely a very self-driven thing that I didn't expect people to be very interested in at first. But now, I mean, although I still think only like 5 people have listened to it, but for the second season, which will, I think, start up in April again, I am going to expand a little bit. I'm going to do some musical tidbits throughout it. So I'm going to write music for every episode.
Wow.
I'm going to make them each about 20 minutes long. I'm going to interview people because people like to talk about random things. And it's very interesting.
Yeah.
And it's just like a conversation
that
you can have just like this one.
Yeah.
So, for example, Lewis, I haven't asked you yet, but I want to interview you about the subject of tailgating.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. I have thoughts.
So I have lots of questions written down.
Okay.
But we'll do that again at another time. So, lots of things. Lots
All right. Jeez, man.
But you want to
like did I do some horrible tailgating with you in the car once?
You did, however. I rear-ended somebody the other day.
Uh-oh.
And I think of myself as somebody who hangs back a lot. It was a very light tap, and it was at a stop sign. And I had reached over to grab some food. So, you know, musicians, we need more time to eat.
Well, let's not waste all of this on this podcast.
Yes.
But I would say that you having a podcast made me think, but Mia has a podcast. I want a podcast.
Yeah. And it's, the nice thing today, like you, anybody who's listening to this, start a podcast if you want to.
You can.
Anybody can have it.
So easy.
Yeah.
We're doing this on a phone. We're not even using a special microphone or anything. Might sound bad, but
yeah, but most people, right? I listen to all my podcasts in the car.
I
don't hear the sound quality.
Right.
I hear the words.
Well, I never thought that your podcast sounded bad.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
It had one bad episode that at some point, so at the very end of my podcast last year, I was running out of space on SoundCloud.
Oh.
So, and I didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
But I am going to start paying for it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be able to update the one sucky podcast that you can barely hear.
Yeah,
so there's like one that you can't hear, so I'll change that.
Yeah, I pay for podcast hosting.
It's a thing. You know, to get your stuff out there into the world.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to hear an episode of Minute Mondays.
Yeah.
Right,
I still have to decide which one, but it's going to be
It'll all be explained.
Exciting.
Right.
And the full title.
It'll be very exciting.
Yes, it'll be very exciting. The full title of my podcast is Minute Mondays, the Mundane Podcast.
Yes.
No. Mundane Mondays, the Minute Podcast.
Oh, excuse me.
It's been so
long. I've been
saying
it wrong. Mundane Mondays.
I haven't been announcing it every week.
Yeah. Actually, Minute.
Yeah.
Mundane
Mondays, the Minute Podcast. Yes, and it started out because originally I was going to make them minute-long podcasts.
Yeah.
And the very first episode I made, I read everything very loud or very fast to make it into a minute, and Eric was like, I can't understand that. And so I realized I could change it to Minute, and it would be just a kind of small podcast. So
yeah.
I have my logo and everything. It was very exciting to come up with that stuff. It's the first project I've had that was non-music related.
Yeah, right. I think it's cool to sometimes do something other than music.
Yeah.
So that our music can be about something.
Yeah.
Right?
Because our sometimes playing music all the time, we get sucked into our little world of trying to play every note precisely. And, you know, nobody is perfect. No matter how well you do, you can still be bored by what you're doing.
No doubt.
And you want to be engaged and invested in things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, this has been a really exciting podcast. Thank you so much, Mia.
Thank you.
For having me over for rehearsal and for taking the time to talk to me. Anything else you want to say?
That just reminds me, today I think is the first time I haven't really, well, since my own podcast, I worry about my voice a lot sometimes. Like, I used to never record things because I didn't want to listen back to my voice. Just like it's hard sometimes to listen back to your own playing.
Yeah.
But I did one podcast episode about my voice, and that was fun. So maybe I'll explore that more this year.
Yeah.
But it's nice to not think about it and to not worry so much.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, I hate my own voice. I just don't listen to my own podcast. I just have other people listen to it, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you've already gotten the information, right?
And it's something I realize that I do that's really annoying, which I just did. It's like a... Before I say something.
People do that. You do not do it enough that I had ever noticed.
Well, I've been noticing.
Yes. My problem is that I'll start mumbling at the end of a sentence and it'll just sort of drift off. But
okay,
that's just because I don't know what I'm saying. So I've
Right.
You know,
a lot of people.
Be definite. Be sure.
Yeah.
But not always.
I think part of podcasting is you learn this stuff after you've done like 100 or 200 of them.
Yeah. That's why you look at some podcasts and it's like 500 episodes. Oh my gosh. How did they get there?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
You just do it.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Coming up is Mundane Mondays, the Minute Podcast. And remember, it's not celloist, it's cellist.
Life is just tweets now. Why not just give in? It could be luscious, destructive, magnetic, repulsive. It's only for me on Mondays. Hello, and welcome to Mundane Mondays, the Minute Podcast, a tiny weekly podcast about something. I'm your hostess, Mia Balladargelli, here to make the mundane mysterious, the ordinary extraordinary, and all that. Maybe. I spend a minute amount of time every Monday sharing about everyday items, activities, thoughts, and everything in between. And as a warning to listeners, this podcast may contain wordplay. Please check out soundcloud.com/mundanemondayspodcast to comment and share with us. And send any feedback or mundane ideas you have to mundanemondayspodcast@gmail.com. Season 1, Episode 32, The Rat Race. Is self-doubt the way to win? That's a trick question. Us rats can't win this race. But life is not a clinical trial, is it? Unless we're part of the Truman Show, or have the actual disorder that makes you feel that literally your life is part of a show. The rest of us just feel the eyes on us, at times in reality, because people are watching our every move, and at times because we're being a bit self-important, or just caring too much about what other people might possibly be thinking. It's a balance, finding out you're not the star of the show, but also not being so down on yourself that pressing on in life and finding momentous things to work towards are still good things. We don't suck that much that we can't try. It's just we're not so cool that everyone should follow our example at every turn. Sometimes my mind is rolling with self-doubt, like, am I a fake? For me, too much of my mental energy goes towards the music thing, since I spend most of my life doing that. And it's, you know, a lot of time. I spend most of my time driving, playing, teaching, and waiting around for all of those things. I've been doing this for a lot of years, and it's just a little bit weird how far-reaching it is every day of my life. I was asked recently why I play music for a living. I couldn't find an adequate answer that reached how I really feel about music. One thing about it is that doing something sound-based that has no specific meaning is hard to describe in itself. Nobody knows what music is, what it means, why we keep doing it throughout the centuries. And music without lyrics is abstract. No matter how much you can analyze its structure, it's just a bunch of stuff put together that one specific person poured out of their brain. Like authors, but generally without narrative. I doubt that I'll ever be able to completely answer any question about my reasons for doing what I do. But who can? Answer me that. I'm finding a fill-in smattering of reasonings, though, perhaps, so I feel accomplished
as a question answerer. I don't want to be a failure. But failing in specific things is actually supposed to be a huge part of being a human. Reaching goals, doing creative things, and all that, right? I've heard that. But then I've also generally pushed my way through most things to where I felt like I did my best, and it was enough. And no matter how badly I do, it's always enough, right? Wrong. Half-assing is never enough. But trying hard and falling short is different. But will I ever be good enough at violin to be happy with my playing? Will I ever have enough people listening and reacting to convince myself that what I do is worthwhile to other people? And does that matter? What am I even saying? I started this podcast to talk about things I care about that seem small, but that are parts of our lives that matter. And self-doubt is one of those things that eggs us on and makes us feel small, but also self-important, as if what we do to be successful is the most important thing in life. I would like to see a place where everyone gets 1 week every month to do whatever, and we're paid a real salary. But I can't start a revolution right now. In the Oxford Living Dictionaries, mundane is defined, past just being dull, as of this earthly world rather than a heavenly or spiritual one. And yeah, for sure, I am not talking about doubt in the spiritual realm. I'm filled with awe at the small things, the everyday things that affect us so much. And we're afraid we're not enough because the little things become so big to us. It feels good to have goals, to work hard, but is it ever a good thing to be down on yourself about all the things? Not like, oh no, I forgot to put that in my calendar, so I messed everything up for all these other people. But more like, oops, I turned the wrong way, so it will take me 2 more minutes to get to the grocery store. Oh no, what did I do? Well, okay, back to the rat race topic. Grim and determined faces every morning in their cars, on bikes, on the bus. Sometimes I join them. But if every morning I had to give it up to a commitment of employment for the sake of a paycheck every 2 weeks, I don't know what I would do. I wouldn't do well inside my head. I mean, I'm not doing well. Sometimes it is. But you know what I like? Making tea, staring at the window at the trees, picking up bay nuts in the park, or plums, or blackberries. Stretching. Listening to a cool song. Playing something with people. Laying on my back, hanging out. Whatever. I'm into doing things. I like sitting around too, but I couldn't just be a person who sat around and watched TV day after day. But I also don't feel the desire to be a human working all the time anymore. That's what I do almost every day that I'm here in Oakland, work, for years. That's why Eric and I took a couple long road trips a while back. And why in the fall of 2018, we have 6 trips planned. Texas, the only one already completed. And yet to come, New Orleans, Arizona, Reno, and 2 trips to Chico, one for gigs, one not. New Orleans and Reno are the only trips I'm not planning on practicing during. But it's like if we aren't gone, it's not okay to take time off. It felt so weird towards the end of October. I had a day off, and Eric and I went bowling and got food and rented a movie on Amazon. Writing this down reminds me of calm. So I just had a nice, deep breath, and I'm thinking about my breathing and how tense I'm feeling. I keep coming back to this idea. This one idea. Have a few things I'm committed to, and stop saying yes to things that aren't part of these commitments. I'm a girl who, over the past few years, has said yes to every gig I can physically take part in. Savings is part of it. Being accessible is part of it. And maybe seeing how much I can actually do is a part as well. Not good, girl. Not good. What about going about the day with time for exploration and calmed moments? Sounds good, huh? Are you doing it regularly? Nope. Too bad. Instead, there are little moments of lull, then back to the grind, which is the same in any sort of work situation. Because everyone gets stressed and needs days when they're mentally given more space. And unfortunately, it's not built into our livelihoods to take this space. In fact, there was a great depiction of this just this week by the artist Alex Norris, known on Instagram as @webcomic @_name, where a person who left their normal job built themselves the same confines within freelancing. Because of this sort of nonsense, I'm going to change my tune. I'm changing it. I'm singing a different song. This is going to be my second to last episode for this year, and I'm letting it out. As you might be noticing, I've had some tricky situations in my own mind dealing with making a living recently. That's why I'm talking about this. I'm taking some auditions this year that aren't leading to anything, but the preparation is great. I'm pushing myself to play outside of my normal playing zone, which is more positive than not getting a job that I tried for. Though mainly the trouble has been that I've continued to say yes to everything that is possible. A new kind of guideline must be put into place in my own head so that this isn't a constant bout of being at my wit's end and just plugging away because I feel obligated. In fact, on Thursday, I'm going on my first real vacation in a while. Yay, New Orleans! Time for so much good food! And along with not practicing, I don't immediately have gigs that will take a lot of preparation right after I get back. But I'm telling myself to put even more buffer room in my schedule in the future, because I do have to teach in the afternoon when I get back on a plane that morning. But the flights on the holiday were so much more expensive. Excuses, excuses. I'm also telling myself that after a certain date, Christmas Eve, it's time to stop saying yes to so many gigs. That will leave more time for the groups I want to spend time with. And there's a reason I play with who I do, right? Yes. Let's do this, Mia Bella. Let's do this. And no more saying you're going to and then being like, but I could totally fit that in my schedule. Nuh-uh. You're not saying yes to that. You're going on a hike. You're practicing. You're napping. Self-care is coming up in my mind a lot as well these days. It has been something that, while I appreciate the notion of it, I kind of scoffed. Self-care. I don't need that much time for me, do I? Just keep going. You'll be fine. You'll get through it like you always do. Like the other day, I had a dermatologist appointment to assure me the moles they removed are looking fine. Then a rehearsal. Then another rehearsal, then 6 students, which included going to 3 different houses once I left mine, then a concert. It was a day that happened, and I'd rather not repeat it again. But you know, the timing worked out, and when I was planning it all, I was like, yeah, totally, that'll be long, but it'll work. And it did, and I didn't enjoy any of it. Okay, well, if the goal is to think of and hopefully even be on a path that is positive and moving forward, I need to spend more time, more of the time I have in this world, on things I care about. Not just making a living. It's great to do that with music, and music is part of my life outside of the money-oriented portion of it. But some things just aren't as fulfilling when it causes too thin a spread. Like when your bagel doesn't have enough cream cheese, or your toast not enough butter. Just ask Eric. I like it spread to the edges. Life needs a thick, fulfilling spread of living. And of course, for each person, it should be a flavor they like, because I don't want no fennel spread. Pretty please, with a cherry on top. A real cherry, not a stupid maraschino one. I sometimes wish I knew more about life and how it would play out. It's a little crazy not having a clear idea of any of the possibilities of the years to come. But maybe that's what it's all about, this whole living thing, not knowing the path and forging ahead anyways. Because no one knows. No one knows the trouble I've seen or the joys to come. And now onto our self-assessment for this mundane Monday's topic. How do you take time for yourself regularly? What times in your life have brought into question your future? Have you ever worried you were lying to yourself about your abilities? Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with the last episode of Mundane Mondays, the Minute Podcast, Season 1. There's too much to say to do those super short episodes anymore. And I need a break. Next season will be an exploration of more beautiful mundanities and their deep connections to our lives. And I'll announce the start date in the new year.